Oh Lord, take our lips and speak through them, take our minds and think through them, take our hands and work through them, take our hearts and set them on fire for you. Through Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. So this morning, in the wonderful convergence of readings, the first reading and the gospel, we have a clear theme of healing and wholeness all the way through those two readings, and actually even the epistle from Timothy speaks to that as well. And a great opportunity in this rare and unusual account of the healing of Naaman from the book of 1 Kings. Very likely an oral story that worked its way into scripture, maybe the giveaway is the repetition of certain themes and ideas. So more on that in a moment. Today we're going to have a little opportunity to do a Bible study sermon. So rich is that story, just to keep you all on your toes. But first, just maybe a little background about leprosy. And what leprosy was and is, often is mentioned in scripture, misunderstood in antiquity and in Jesus' time, much better understood now. Leprosy, whenever leprosy is mentioned, it often refers to just a variety of skin diseases that may or may not have been what we know as Hansen's disease, or the modern disease of leprosy. But whatever it was believed that skin diseases of these sorts made people unclean and impure, and leprosy in its final stages can be enormously disfiguring, difficult to look at someone with leprosy. So there was, as we hear that clue in the gospel, keeping a distance. Lepers were kept at a distance, they were not associated with. They were not touched, they were outcasts in the community. Which is ironic, because modern medicine now has taught us that leprosy is the result of a specific bacteria, which is highly curable. Within 3 days of someone with leprosy receiving medication, they are no longer contagious. And not only that, but leprosy is in fact not highly contagious. It is not transmitted from a mother to the fetus in utero. It is not transmitted by intimate contact, even among families. It's believed that it may be respiratory borne, but only in certain circumstances. Interesting, you know, on the heels of COVID and all of this concern about communicable diseases, here we have one of the most dreaded diseases in history of humankind turns out not to have been so fearful after all. The fear of leprosy was that itself. The contagion was fear. The fear of something that could not be understood. And it so separated people from each other. So let's look for a moment at the story of Naaman. And you might want to have your bulletins so expertly crafted for you with paragraphs and capital letters and all the adjustments we have to make. You might just want to have that handy for a moment because there will be some questions. I'm not able to reward the person who answers the most questions correctly because it's not quite like Jeopardy, but we might get there. You might be interested, this translation, and I like translations, is from the Oxford Study Bible, or the Revised English Bible, which is a great Bible because it reads well. It's not just purely contemporary English, but it's put together in a way that you can really understand it. And this version does so brilliantly. So the first question is, who is Naaman, and or Naaman sometimes it's pronounced both ways, who is Naaman? And what exactly is he about? He's what?
Syrian.
He's Syrian, thank you. Question number one goes to Emma. Yes, Aramaic is part of modern Syria, that's right. He knows Jeopardy. Oops, I'm in trouble now. Yes, he was Syrian, that's correct. What else?
Slavic.
what was his occupation?
Head of the army.
Head of the army, right. He was a great man. He was the commander of the army. He was highly esteemed by his master. He was, what else? Mighty, right? So what do you get this picture of? Important, powerful, influential, turns out to be wealthy. Got a lot going for him, right? You probably noticed him when he came into a party. But what's his problem? Leprosy, right? So he is a divine. He is supposed to be the exemplar of all that is mighty and wonderful and powerful in Syria. He has leprosy, which must be symptomatic if he knows. It has progressed to that point. So he's used to getting what he wants, when he wants it, how he wants it. He seemingly is able to buy anything he needs, but he cannot get cured of this disease. Who is the young girl in the story? Who is she? Yes, slave. Correct. She has been captured from Israel, which is an arch enemy of Syria. And she happens, because she's probably responded to a help wanted ad on LinkedIn, she has ended up being the servant to who?
To
Naaman's wife. Ah, the plot thickens. So, Naaman's wife. Now, isn't this a little interesting twist? We've got Syria, and she has now been taken into Syria, and she's working for Naaman's wife. But she seems to have a little bit of gumption, I would say. Maybe a little feistiness. What does she suggest to Naaman's wife?
Israel.
Right, because who does she know? Elisha, the big prophet in Israel, is a healer. And now, isn't this interesting? She is suggesting healing from the very country which is an enemy of where she is now. But she doesn't seem, that is not part of a, that's not a difficulty. It's not an impediment. She's extending the healing capacity of this man in the enemy country. We think. So who suggests that Naaman visit Elijah? Well, she speaks to her mistress, the wife. The wife says, Naaman, you need to go to the doctor. Now, does this sound familiar? Ladies of the congregation, right?
Yeah.
You know what they say? The hardest thing in the world is to get the guy to go to the doctor. So the wife says, you know, you should do something about that skin problem. You should go to the doctor, okay?
Happy wife, happy life.
Happy wife, happy life, exactly. So they must get, you know, he listens to his wife. He listens to his wife, thank goodness. Okay. So now we get down, we're down to the second paragraph. So does he head off with a carry-on bag? Now you're going to see the doctor. Maybe a change of underwear perhaps would be appropriate. But what does he take? Just about everything he's got, right? Horses, chariots, and gold and silver. Very handy to pay those high bills that are going to come from the insurance company. And, I love this one, 10 changes of clothing. 10 changes of clothing. Why does he take 10 changes of clothing? What?
10 days.
He thinks he's going to check in to this Hilton Hospital and get the red carpet treatment. So he needs clothing for 10. This isn't going to be an overnight deal. So off he goes, trundling along. And so Elisha speaks. He intervenes, actually. He gets wind of what's going on. Naaman's gone. He's got his leper. And the king of Israel goes, oh, yeah, right. Is this a trap or what? This is a Trojan horse. Something's up here. But Elisha intervenes. Why does Elisha intervene? There are two reasons. What's the obvious reason Elisha intervenes?
God.
Well, he does want, yeah, he wants to heal, yeah, show the power of God, and also, this could very well be the healing of the rift between these countries. He's going to really do, this is a diplomatic maneuver. rather smart. Okay, so he also wants to heal the conflict. So this is where. And, you know, it's interesting because Naaman is not from Israel in the same way the leper in the gospel is not also from Israel. The leper in the gospel is a Samaritan. See, there's the connection. These two outcasts are both healed. So, Naaman arrives noisily at Elijah's house. All the racket, the chariots and the horses and the baggage and the ten changes of clothes. This whole big production. And he pulls up and he rings the doorbell. And what happens? Elijah didn't answer the door. Didn't come out of the examining room to the waiting room. Sends out probably his nurse with what? With what? Well, what do we call that in modern terms? A prescription. He sends him a prescription and doesn't even examine him. And the prescription is the equivalent of take two aspirin and call me in the morning. See? It's not, we're going to run you through a battery of tests, and then you're going to be 5 days on therapy, and then we're going to have to do a skin graft, and la-di-da-di-da. It's just go bathe, and you'll be fine. And what does mom think? He is thinking, wait a minute. I came this whole way with all these chariots and horses, and I am a very important person. Right? And yet you're not going to come out and even just wave your hand over me or take my pulse, look me in the eye. So who intervenes this time to change the story? Another servant. Yes. Naaman's servant this time, probably a male servant, we don't know, but Naaman's servant. Do you get the funny part here is the servants know their masters better than the masters know themselves. And the servants keep intervening to get them to do the right thing. So Naaman's servant says, now wait a minute, if he had told you that it was going to be a month in the ICU, would you have said no? All he's asking is this simple act. Why not give it a try? And that's the turning point in the story. What does Naaman have to do? He has to swallow his pride and his fear because he's afraid. He swallows all that and says, okay, I'll take a dip in the Jordan and we'll see what happens. And the miracle occurs. But he has to swallow his pride and his fear a second time. And what's that second time? Say thank you. Can you imagine how hard it was for Naaman, who's used to everybody basically just doing what he says, getting what he wants, just kind of getting over obstacles and mowing down barriers, and he has to suck it up and go to Elijah and say, I'm sorry, you were right, and thank you. Thank you for doing what you did for me. And he's even willing to pay him. And Elijah says, no, your thanks is thanks enough. Go home, and I'll be happy as well. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. Do you wonder if the other 9 cured lepers gave thanks when they got to the temple? And the priest said, wow, you're all clean. How did that happen? You think that they gave thanks when they were certified as clean? I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. How many times in our lives do we just have to be grateful for what God has done for us in healing us of whatever it is that we have most wanted healed? The Samaritan, the outcast, the non-Jew in many eyes, could at least give thanks. Probably didn't have a nickel for his name, but he could give thanks. So could man, high and mighty and strong, but so, so human. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart for healing that makes us whole, not necessarily cured, but whole, and healing that makes us free from fear and from all that limits us. Because we are so afraid. And I think many our challenges in this country, in our world, is because we are fearful people. We're fearful people. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, even when it is very, very hard to be thankful, because that is when we most need to go close to God. The greatest gift that we can have is every day to find something to be thankful for. Someone, something, some event, some person, something in our lives to be thankful to God for. A power larger than ourselves, but doing more than we can think or imagine. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. May that be so for us, as it was for Naaman and the leper. May that be so for all of us, all the days of our lives, that we may give thanks to God. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen.